This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show number 115. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com. You can email us on
mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com
and call us on
020-88-167-691.
I'm David Hinchliffe.
And I'm Berners.
Welcome along, everyone, to the show. And Berners is alongside me again. Berners, I understand you're carrying a little bit of an injury this week.
Yep, we nearly had a fatality last Friday. Very bad injury, lower back, coccyx. Sat out, had to give the captain the text message of death early Saturday morning. He was not happy.
Oh, well, it's Saturday morning. You'd start to scrabble around then, don't you, for a player. And it goes down the chain. So whoever is captain of the lowest 11 gets to get the painful trying to find another player from somewhere situation.
Picking the road sweeper up en route to the game. The worst thing being as well, the captain was playing with a broken thumb and he's the wicketkeeper. Oh. So it was kind of like, I'm a little bit of a wimp.
Well, if you couldn't bend down, Berners, what are you going to do? You know,
It was really painful, actually. I was with Guru Welsh yesterday, very unsympathetic as ever. Big, brash Australian, criticising Essendon's ability to perform in the AFL arena on the weekend as well, and merely shrugged it off and said I should have been there. But, thanks for that, Chief.
Well, I did play, and I've got to say, it was probably the worst performance of any cricket team I've ever played in. We played against quite weak opposition. We won the toss, and because we're a pretty good bowling side at the moment and we back ourselves chasing, we stuck them in and rolled them over for 155. So we thought easy money here because we had an extra five overs to get the runs as well. So, and we were cruising to victory. We put on 60 for the loss of only the first wicket, and then it all started to go a little bit wrong. We still were okay on about 115, something like that, for five, and still thinking, yep, plenty of batting in the hutch, bat all the way down to 11, so we got no problems here, and we managed to collapse against some absolutely shocking leg spin bowling. One over, which was particularly memorable, was he bowled two wides, then he bowled a man with a full toss, then he got the next man also with a full toss, first ball, hit him rap on the pad right in front of the middle stump, and then he bowled another wide. I couldn't believe it. two wickets and then a wide on his hat trick ball.
The traits of a village idiot.
Oh, it was terrible. It was shocking.
Skittled you.
and he got five wickets. And our captain was so upset that he left. He got angry. He shouted at us in the changing room afterwards. Just in case any Pitch Vision Academy listeners are worried about me, by the way, I was not out of the end. I was the only one who managed to survive the onslaught.
Coach was in there digging in.
I dug in. Yeah, unfortunately, nobody else did. We kept popping it up to mid on and missing full tosses. But he came into the changing room. He threw everyone's wallets on the floor and said, "You all need to take a look at yourself." Went straight into his car and drove home, leaving behind the player he gave a lift to the match because it was an away game.
He was not a happy camper, so it wasn't a good time to go up to him and say, "About next week, Skip, do you think I'll be in the team?"
Well, I was going home with somebody who's a fringe player, and he said, "Well, that's me out of the side next week." So I think he's seen the writing on the wall.
Absolutely.
So he's gone. I think a couple of others have gone as well. So we'll have a new look side for next week, and hopefully we'll be able to steel ourselves and bounce back. Because I think that's the sign of a good team, isn't it? That you play poorly, you lose, but then the next week you come back stronger and you roll the opposition over.
Absolutely.
So we've had some news in the world of cricket this week, or the end of last week, I should say. Martin Crowe is back playing cricket. What do you think about that, Berners?
Fantastic. 15 years after retiring, the boy is back. He's only a few runs short of 20,000 runs, so I think he must be watching all this IPL stuff. He's seeing all these young pretenders, and he's thinking, let's get that blade back in my hands here. I'm gonna show these boys a thing or two. So I think he's opting for a place in back in the Auckland team. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. See what happens with the Crowmeister.
Yeah, I think some people are sort of scoffing and saying, well, it can't be done. But to be fair, no one's ever tried it, have they? So I think he's going in with a, reading the interviews, I think he's going in with a realistic view of things in that he knows the chances are slim, but you never know. If he gets off to a good start and things happen for him, he is a great of the game. So, you know, I think he's got a good chance as long as he can do things properly. It's going to be a little bit difficult for him in the field, isn't it, with a couple of cropped knees.
Yep, good old Somerset boy he is. Had a few siders in his time, I'm sure. But he was a favourite down at Taunton.
Well, there's plenty of guys doing it in club cricket in this country. You are 48 and older. I've played club cricket against a guy well into his 70s.
Blimey.
So I don't know. I don't know if you've ever played against someone who's a bit doddery, Berners.
Not really. My father, he bowls at me occasionally. He actually told me a funny story. He's just got back into umpiring. He umpired his first game last night for Exeter Cricket Club.
Yeah.
And apparently he actually won them the game. Umpiring, guys murdered it back, needing four to win, and it's just hit him.
Mm.
So he's won Exeter to the game. First game back. Well done, Dad. Victory. Victorious. I bet they all bought him a pint.
He made himself big, did he?
Yeah, he took a blow on the ankle, I think. It was one of those that got rocketed back. But he thought, I'll just get in the way of that and we'll probably win this. Fantastic.
But, we've got an interview this week with Watsonian player Mike Leggett, and Guns, as they call him, will be telling us all about strength and conditioning, because he is a strength and conditioning coach for a living, and Mike tries his best to get the first team players at Watsonian and the second team players at Watsonian to get a little bit more into the strength and conditioning side of things, improve their game with a bit of heavy lifting and flexibility and all the rest of it. So we're going to talk to Mike about the challenge of that and how he sort of combines being a player with being a strength and conditioning coach and how that all fits into to club cricket, because I think cricketers aren't the first to the gym when you think about sportsmen, are they, Berners?
Absolutely not. First to the bar.
So we'll be having that interview coming up next, and then after that it's the question sections where you can win a prize courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy. So speaking of the bar, let's head to that bar now where I spoke to Mike in my recent visit to Edinburgh.
I'm Mike Leggett. I'm a left-arm seamer for Watsonians. I'm also a strength and conditioning coach for Scottish Rugby and Sport Scotland.
What would you say the main advantages are in regards to fitness in cricket?
The main advantage I've seen is the kind of development of, well, the more precise ways the guys are training. It's a lot more scientific behind the ways that they train. There's a lot more resistance type training, kind of weights training involved now with cricketers, trying to increase their strength and power, kind of key things for one, preventing injury, and also for increasing speed, hitting power, etc., a good stable base. So I certainly found there's been a lot more emphasis on training, where before it was always kind of seen as a negative and you don't want to bulk up, but certainly now there's a lot more emphasis on developing that, making cricketers more athletic. Before, people used to, like, right, you've got the winter to go away, and this is certainly in the amateur style. You've got winter to go away and do your own thing, and basically people go to their local gym, Virgin Active, etc., and do kind of bodybuilding type training, or just run cardiovascular and try and keep general fitness, but not actually specific to their sport. And certainly in club and work, like, Scotland aren't professional, but even in with the Scotland side, they've become put a lot more emphasis on that side of training, and it's much more important than it has been in the past. And even past England players. They wouldn't have done any of the type of training that now the modern cricketer has to do.
Do you see that at club level as well? Do you see the way that club players train changing as well, or are they still?
I would say they're still not there. They're keen, but it's just trying to put it in place and implement it, which is the hard thing. The good thing is there's a lot more research, and it's becoming a lot more kind of commercially aware, kind of much more out there for these guys to start reading it about themselves and what they should be doing, where before it was kind of hidden away with the professionals and it was a very kind of secret. Now strength and conditioning is a lot more well known, I should say. So it's kind of like quality over quantity is the kind of theme. But in terms of like amateur cricket, it's trying to kind of educate the guys to try and do it, and unfortunately I haven't been able to do as much as I would have liked to with some of the players who are keen and have the ability. I've put them on some programs over the winter, but some of them are quite new to training itself, so they're on novice programs. I can't always supervise them, so again I can't put some of the training that I would like to put in. Some of the exercises, because I can't allow them to do. I don't want them to be injured doing the training, so that kind of limits what I can do with them. Some of the guys I have actually managed to do, they come, I train with them, I work in the gym and spend a couple of hours, and they'll come down and I'll try and go through the program with them. So we're trying to get them more explosive, more kind of stronger and kind of fitter, but specific for the cricket, so they're not running around the pitch, etc. They're doing, basically we did a lot of sprint work over the winter, try and get the guys faster, get them stronger and more powerful. It's much easier, that's a lot harder to do than get them fit, where we can go running around the pitch or we can play conditioning games, etc. It's much easier for the other guys to go away and do it, to do the speed stuff. It takes a bit more effort and time, and certainly on the cricketing amateur side, it's getting the guys together in the winter. Again, it's difficult with the other commitments.
How important is it then? You mentioned being able to coach people in technique and make sure that they're getting. Yeah. How important is it to have an instructor or a strength coach who can guide you with your technique with some of these exercises?
So some of the exercises are quite basic, and you can quite easily go out and look at a book, or YouTube is quite a good useful tool, and go away and someone can give you a program, you could go and implement it straight away at your local gym. Some of the exercises, the more specific exercises, we're talking a bit more about kind of power exercises, a bit more clean snatches, that kind of more specific kind of technical kind of jump squats, etc. Even squatting itself. One, the gym's got to have, these guys train that have got to have the kind of facilities, the equipment to allow the guys to do it. And also the guys doing it must be educated so they're doing it right and getting the benefits out of it. Because it's quite easy, especially when you start getting near your maximum, which you've been needing to do to develop strength, 85% or more kind of your max. If you're not doing it right, you could then damage your back, and then that kind of goes against the benefits of actually doing the training. But you can go so far without one, but to really get that extra bit, you do need that kind of extra bit of knowledge to help. So you don't get stagnant and don't keep making your gains and keep the progression.
Speaking on a personal note, how have you found that your experience and knowledge and strength has helped your own game?
I would actually say it's helped a lot, actually. From my personal point of view, I'm a lot stronger, and I'm a lot more powerful than I've ever been. I'm also a lot more flexible than I've ever been. And I actually now, I used to have a lot of back problems when I was bowling long spells or training hard. So if I was training hard for like 2 hours, at the end my back would just be giving me lots of jip. Over the last 2 years, I've done a lot of work on trying to get stronger, and I've always been fit. I've always looked to try and, I found that the last couple of years got stronger, a lot more explosive, a lot more powerful. So I feel stronger at the crease. I'm a bowler, so I'm an opening bowler. I feel much stronger at the crease. I can run in, I feel I can run in harder. I can then cope with the forces, because it's such a large amounts of force occur when you land in your jump. five times your body weight goes through that front leg, which you then got, which is breaking, then you've got to pivot yourself over. So it requires a large amount of force, and you're doing that repetitively, especially in the training scene when in the game you might only be bowling 10 overs, or maybe not even that. The demands aren't as much, but in training, and be able to kind of not break down, I come away from training feeling great. In terms of my flexibility wise, I haven't had any niggles whatsoever, not even a hint of any back problems. My legs feel loose, I feel ready to go, I'm never stiff anymore. Even though I'm training harder, I don't feel stiff. And that's just come down to training right and training correctly. So that's basically doing my kind of strength work, my power work, my flexibility work, and my recovery. I'm doing that right, and that certainly helped me as a bowler. And I'm basically can't wait to get out there and bowl some more, really, because I feel I've proved the kind of attributes. Now I've got to transfer it to the sport, and the way to do that is by bowling. I was injured in the pre-season, so I haven't bowled as much as I would have liked in the pre-season. I'm ready to go, and that's something some of the other players have found from doing some of the programs as well. Another fast bowler was on the program as well, and he says he feels much stronger at the crease, much more stable, much more thin, so then he can generate more force from the crease and bowl the ball a little bit faster. And he's only been doing it for 5 months, and he's already noticed a big difference. So imagine he'd been doing it for 2-3 years and was even stronger and even more powerful, then potential could have been unlimited kind of stuff.
Looking at things from the point of view of a cricket coach, a lot of cricket coaches, they've got younger players, they know how important fitness has become in cricket, but they don't really know where to start. So if you were to give top three tips to a cricket coach to help them develop the strength and conditioning side of younger players, you know, say 11 to 16,
yeah,
what three pieces of advice would you give?
One thing is get the guys running speed and try and do some speed work with them. I think that's key. And speed work involves accelerating, decelerating, change of direction, and then putting them all together. And if you can get these guys running quicker, and this I'm not talking about trying to knacker the guy, I'm talking about doing a proper speed session where you're working at your max speed, plenty of rest, and then you're repeating that. If you can get the boys when they're young, when they're got the most potential to develop their speed, you can get them running that extra half second quicker between the wickets, or getting that change between. That can be the difference between being run out, not run out, getting that extra run. In terms of the field, if you can get the guys to react faster, change the direction, get in the correct position, and so not get them in the correct position, and then they've actually got the attributes to then react and accelerate from that position. They can then get to a ball quicker, take the catch, stop the field, stop the ball from going to the boundary, get extra run outs. And when guys are young, you want to get them working on the speed. So that's looking at running technique as well, which is, you're amazed how many guys don't actually run correctly. It's almost like they're fighting themselves sometimes, the way people run. And it's quite easy just to correct that and just get in. If you get in earlier, that would certainly help. I don't always go down that route of using fitness as a punishment. For instance, one of the guys was talking, because I have a no ball problem. Every time I bowl a no ball, they want me to go run out to the middle and come back. And I was like, well, what's the point of that? All I'm going to do is get tireder and tireder and tireder. That means I'm going to bowl worse and worse and worse, and probably end up bowling more no balls, or change my run up because I'm tired. And then I might sort my run up, but when I'm on the pitch, I'm not tired, I'm fresh, I'm ready to go, I've got the energy, I've got the buzzing. So I just, I'm all for making sure guys get fit and do their speed endurance, but I like to keep that separate, and you do it structured, and get the guys all doing it together. If some guy needs to do a little bit extra, then get them doing a little bit extra. But always do that at the end of the session. It can be quite fun doing punishment. You can do various drills, and then you can go, like the losing team gets to do it. I would say that's not specifically sport specific, it's just a bit of fun. And I would try and actually, I mean, get the guys running shuttles, get them doing it in the pads, get them running with bats, get them tired doing that, running the 22 yards to the wicket, get them doing that. You can do conditioning work, get the guys fit by doing cricket drills, but just do them at a fast pace, so you don't worry about the skill side of it. So you're throwing balls that they've got to run and get that, change the direction, putting cones out, all sorts of drills. So it's more there you're looking for the kind of quantity rather than the quality when you're doing the kind of conditioning work. But you're trying to make it sport specific, cricket specific. So do it in the fielding situation. You can then get the guys running shuttles, running a length of the pitch, then having to do some other drills. So they've got that kind of fatigue factor in, which sometimes quite happen. You could be bowling a set of six overs, go down to third man, and then you're running all over the place. Just so happen you're in the game or whatever, and then you come back and you have to bowl another set of six. So you've got to make sure the guys are able to cope with those demands. But yeah, make it fun, because it can be pretty brutal, but make it hard. But I would set 10, 15 minutes. It's not, don't even need to be that long, 15 minutes, 10 minutes at the end, but make it as specific to the sport as possible.
Time now for the question section on the show, and it's a little bit of a fielding special this week, Ben, as I understand you've picked out a couple of fielding questions for us.
Yeah, we got a question from our good friend David Harvey here. How are you, David? Hope that you're well, mate.
Yep, hi, David.
He's just got in contact with us. He's been playing local village cricket for the last few years, and he's just recently joined a slightly bigger club. He's been playing in their third 11, a club which puts out five teams on a Saturday, so... You know, very progressive, and I'd imagine quite a good standard he's playing there. And he's actually got the big call into the second team after some good performances recently. However, he's just wants a few tips and pointers. Psychologically, he's a little bit worried about his fielding, naturally moving up a level and working with different players. He said it's quite a young captain that's now in charge of the second team, and he sets very high standards. So he's just... querying his ability really to get down to balls and be diving about and really fitting into the team with his fielding levels. So he was wondering if we could give him any advice and probably a little bit of confidence moving into that with his fielding. Obviously, fielding's a really big part of the game, and it is important. It can win or lose you games inevitably. So what do you reckon, coach? I always got told to stay low, and it's all about concentrating and focusing every ball and making sure you get quick to the ball, attacking the ball and paying attention. What do you reckon?
Yeah, technically speaking, those things are all really important. And there's a fair chance that David technically is good enough to be fielding at that level. So the question is then, what is holding you back? It's probably something in your head where you're thinking, can I do it at this level? Because he's never really done it before. So he doesn't have the confidence that comes with experience. So probably my advice would be a couple of things. One is to really do a lot of fielding drills, you know, difficult, intense fielding drills, so you get the feel for the ball, you know, being hit hard, skies coming up to you, fielding the ball on the ground as quickly as you can, and doing a reliable job. You don't have to be brilliant, you don't have to be Jonty Rhodes, you just have to be able to do three things. You just have to be able to stop it when it comes near you, catch it when it comes to you in the air, and throw it back in. And if you can do all those three things with a level of competence, then everyone's going to say, yeah, he's a decent fielder.
I think having a good warm-up as well is really essential if you're playing away or even at home, just to get a feel of the outfield. You know, sometimes it's bumpy, and if there's trees around the ground and things like that, just so you can acclimatise to where you are, take a few catches, get a few balls hit straight at you. Get your throwing arm going, because you certainly don't want to be going into the game with your first throw of the day being that particular fielding action, because you're going to end up in all sorts. So have a good warm-up and start preparing way before the actual game.
Yeah, I agree with that, Berners. The warm-up is not just... I mean, it's a bit of a misnomer to call it a warm-up, because a warm-up doesn't really give it enough justice. Yeah, you are getting yourself warm, and physically you're getting ready to play, but also mentally you're getting yourself switched on to that situation where you'll be out in the middle, and you're getting grooving those movements. So yeah, I from a psychological point of view, the warm-up's really important as well. And the other thing is just a little trick really that you can do to if if you're in the middle and you're finding yourself thinking negatively, oh no, what if the ball comes to me and I drop it? What if I'm doing something wrong? A nice little trick you can do there is, especially between overs, you know, if you're hanging around for a minute or two waiting for the field to be set or whatever, you can just think of that memory of something negative, that thought of something negative, and really sort of imagine it, say, as a photograph or a film, which is happening to somebody else. It's not you at all. You can imagine it as a film which is in black and white, for example, or dull and out of focus, and somebody else is being involved in that. And the sound is quiet and it's really far away. And that, so that negative thought, you're sort of making that negative thought into a real thing and then disassociating it completely from yourself by pushing it as far away as possible by all these little mental tricks, like imagining it's a blurred film which is far away or something like that. And then once you've done that, imagine something positive, like you taking a really good catch, like someone smashing it at you and you catching it, and then make that a really vivid memory, really concentrate on that. It's like, you know how when a batsman, Matthew Hayden, I think, and Justin Langer are quite famous for this, go out in the middle and they just stand in the middle and play their shots before the match starts, and they're imagining hitting boundaries. Well, you can do the same thing when you're fielding. You imagine yourself stopping the hard struck ball. You're imagining yourself catching the skyer. You imagine it all going really, really well, and you imagine it as vividly as possible. And you can just go on these little flights of fancy between balls. And then when that actually happens, as far as your brain is concerned, as your confidence is concerned, there's no difference between something you've imagined and something that's actually happened. So when the ball's flying towards you, you don't have that moment of, oh my God. You have that moment of, oh great, here we go again, I'm going to catch it. What's the next question, Berners?
Okay, we've got another question here from Sagar Hard. And he says he loves fielding. He absolutely loves it. Personally, I think you're mad, but he absolutely loves it, and he wants to teach fielding, and he wants to get as much out of it as possible. So he wants to know, David, can you teach him? What does this boy need to know?
To be honest with you, I quite like teaching fielding as well. I don't know how you're if you've had much coaching experience, Burdens, but I think fielding is one of the most fun things to coach that you can, because you can really put people under quite a lot of pressure and enjoy watching other people suffering. A little bit of Schadenfreude.
Yep.
Have you got a malicious coach like that who loves smashing it up in the air with a skyer or something and saying, go on, son, catch that?
I have done in the past when I was playing for Cardiff Academy, Glamorgan. We had a guy called Kevin Lyons who used to play for Worcestershire and is now a first-class umpire. Yeah. And he used to hit golf balls at us sometimes, which was quite nice of him. And also, yeah, get the old skyer out. He was quite good with the tennis racket and tennis ball, which was really good because it made you kind of, you know, take the ball early and also kind of bring the ball into you and really comfort the ball.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, tennis balls are great.
I've always been quite a good catcher myself. It's so annoying when you have, you know, people in the field that let you down with catching. Ground fielding, you can kind of get away with because it's not the end of the world, but catching is just, oh, it's the be end all for me.
And the thing about catching is, it's really simple. The more you catch, the better you get at catching. You know, there's no complicated drill that you need to do.
Right. You can't cheat the system.
Exactly. If you don't catch very often, then it makes it hard to be a good catcher. If you do a lot of catches, then it makes you a better catcher. Every catch you make makes you a better catcher. It doesn't just make you a better catcher in the short term. It makes you a better catcher in the long term. That's why people who are good catchers when they're young, who learn to catch well when they're younger, stay good catchers even when they don't practice very much as they get older. Because it's a bit like riding a bike, you know, you just remember how to do it. So, you know, the more you can catch, it's the 10,000 rule, isn't it, that everybody talks about when you're talking about improving. The more you catch, the better you get at it. So you don't have to be clever with your fielding drills. If you could just get, you know, every time you do a drill and, you know, if you go to a practice session and before play and, you know, every time you're somewhere where there's a cricket ball and somewhere to throw it in the air, then, or hit it in the air, then do some catching. That's probably the single best piece of advice I could give when it comes to fielding. But also, there's a lot of stuff that I think coaches miss out on when they're coaching fielding. You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of work on technique, but there isn't necessarily the same amount of work on the kind of tactical side and the mental side of fielding that we discussed in the last question. So I think it would help a lot if coaches, rather than just saying, you know, this is the long barrier, this is how to catch a slip catch, this is how to catch a high catch and all the rest of it, I think if coaches can also coach in fielding game situations. So, you know, if you find yourself fielding in the covers a lot because you're a half decent fielder, you know, it would help you even more if you had strategies for being able to deal with, you know, what happens when you drop a catch, how you show confidence, how you work as a unit. If you're standing at point, how do you work in conjunction with the guy who's standing at cover and the guy who's standing at square leg? Because that little triangle is quite an important team, for example, isn't it? You know, if you spend a lot of time in the slips, how do you improve your slip catching realistically? So, you know, it's important to be generally good. It's important to work as much as you can on the specialist area if you find yourself working in the specialist area. And it's important to work on the mental side of the game as well, because you spend a lot of time standing in the field and, you know, you have a lot of time to think about things. And if you're lucky enough to be in a team with good banter, you can have some nice distractions, but you also need to know what to do when you have to get your game head on, as they say. What's the banter like in your team, Berners? Do you like do you like a bit of fielding banter to make the afternoon go quicker?
Yeah, we have a bit of banter. We've got some youngsters, so we like to wind them up.
One of our players is very, very good at the banter. And, of course, we had plenty to talk about, if you remember last week, the player who dropped out at the last minute to go shopping.
Yep.
Well, obviously, we had to give him the call of why you're here this afternoon, was Primark closed, etc. I've not seen you run since that far since there was a sale on at the Disney store. We had a few things going around, but he took it all in his stride. And
oh boy, if he's lucky, he's in this neck of the woods, because if he was somewhere else, he wouldn't get a game for the rest of the season. If he was in Australia or New Zealand or South Africa or somewhere like that, he's gone and done that. Oh boy. His life's over.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But anyway, yeah, back to fielding. Drills are important. Drills are really, really important. So, you know, I can't stress that enough. But also, don't forget to work, if you're a coach, to help players deal with both the tactical and the mental side of it. And also, if you're a player, try and think about the type of situations you'll be in and how you're going to deal with them both tactically and mentally. That's all we've got time for on the show this week. Before we go, we need to decide who is going to win a prize, because, as you know, if you enter your question into the show, then you get a chance to win an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy. And as we had a fielding special this week, a couple of fielding questions. So who's going to win the, hopefully, in brackets, fielding course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy this week, Bernice?
Definitely going to give it to David. I think it's brilliant that he's moving up the grades. He's attended a couple of our Pitch Vision Academy events, and
yes,
he's an avid fan of yours, I know. So give it to you, David. Good on you, mate, and good luck on the weekend. And get in contact with us. Let us know who you're playing for now. I'm interested to know what clubs you guys are playing for.
Definitely, and keep that squat going up as well. I know he's beat me at the moment on his squats. So in terms of weight, so. Keep that going as well, David. So if you want to get in touch with us on the show, what's the way people can get through to us, Berners?
You can drop us an email. Our email address here is mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com, or give us a quick call, leave us a message. Our number here is 020-88-167-691.
And you can get us on Twitter. Our Twitter address is @PVCricket. Cricket Coach. And if you do a search for Pitch Vision Academy on Facebook, you'll find us on there. The Facebook section is getting quite lively at the moment. We've got quite a lot of discussion going on. I've been posting some videos on there for the entertainment of all you Facebook fans. So if you are on Facebook, pop along, give us a little like, and have a look at the videos that we've been putting up on there. You can also subscribe to the show. If you have iTunes, then you can head over to there, do a search for Pitch Vision Academy, click on subscribe, and every time a new show becomes available on Fridays, then you'll be able to get it without having to check back. If you don't use iTunes, then you can go to pitchvision.com and you can get the feed to put into any podcast catching program. So it works in Google Reader and all kinds of weird and wonderful things. It's just the standard feed that contains the file. So you can have lots of fun with that, depending on what you want to do. But for now, we're going to leave you to your own entertainment until next week. So until next time, we'll see you again.
Cheers, guys.